Last week in our studies in James, we considered chapter 1 as a chapter concerned the testing of our faith. Faith tested, we headed the study, and we saw that there was a call for endurance in the face of trials and temptations. And trials God permits us to go through for our good, and the temptations are not from God. Often they come with the trials, though, and they are to be resisted. And also, James then developed the themes for the rest of the book at the end of chapter 1, which were about deeds, about words, about thoughts, and finally another thought on endurance of a different kind, which we will get to. Well, tonight we come to James chapter 2. We're taking all of this under the whole study under the title of Genuine Faith Demonstrated, and the overarching text for the whole book, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves, James 1:22. Well, tonight in chapter 2 we come to faith displayed, and what we find first of all is that genuine faith, true faith, knows or shows no impartiality. The faith of Jesus Christ is without partiality, but evidently some in James's day were displaying favoritism toward the rich who were coming to their congregations or their assemblies, while at the same time either despising or rejecting or putting down the poor. That's what we read in verses 1 to 3. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say to him, sit here, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? So showing respect of persons, if you like, by being partial, by showing partiality, we make ourselves judges over other people, in the sense that we put them to condemn, not judge them in the sense of appraising what's going on in their life, our life, in the world, but in the other sense, in the sense of putting them under some sort of judgment, sentence, condemnation. And they're evil thoughts when we do that, when we judge people in that way. And James provides several reasons why such prejudice is unbecoming in those who believe in Jesus, and makes them worthy of condemnation. We read then, we'll pick up at 4 again and go to verse 13. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfil the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do ye, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. I always think about that, you know, if you break the law in one point, you break it in every point. You're a lawbreaker. So, you know, you can't convince yourself that you're not a bad person because you've not murdered somebody, and all you've done is like feel a bit envious over what somebody else has got. So therefore, you're not that bad a lawbreaker. You're a lawbreaker at whatever point you break the law. And James makes that place there. So showing respect of persons makes us a judge, as I just said, of evil thoughts. So in the place of partiality, the text tells us that the believer is instead to fulfill there, in verse 8, the royal law. What's the royal law? That thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. Now that's the law is first stated in those exact words in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. And that law was cited by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 22:39 as being the parallel law to that of loving God, which we find in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 6 verse 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, etc. And what's more, reference to this law about loving thy neighbour, it appears no less than 6 times in the New Testament. Apart from here in Matthew 22:39, we see it again in 6 or 7 times rather, in Matthew 5 verse 43, in chapter 19 verse 19, here in chapter 22 and verse 39, Mark 12:31, Luke 10:27, and Galatians 5 and verse 14, where Paul says, now this law of loving thy neighbour as thyself sums up the whole body of God's moral law as it deals with human behaviour and relationships. What Paul said was in Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. So if we think now that this law has been specifically cited in the Bible no less than 8 times, no wonder then it's called a royal law. It's special. Well, we move on to consider the next part. The genuine faith not only shows no impartiality, it is also evidenced by what we do. It is evidenced through our works. First of all, faith without deeds is not saving faith. James then addresses the relationship between faith and works, especially the folly of professing faith, but without it being accompanied by any works at all. So now we read from James chapter 2, verses 14 to 19. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So a faith that doesn't result in works, that doesn't promote works, is a dead faith. And using several examples from here then, so it's not a saving faith, in fact it's a dead faith, that's the point. Using several examples now to make his point, in taking them from Abraham, the friend of God, and Rahab, the harlot, James, that now goes on to declare 3 times that faith without works is dead. So we read now from verse 20 to the end of the chapter. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. See ye then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So what we have here then, we see that saving faith, true saving faith, is motivated towards impartiality, seeing others in terms of real equality and not in terms of relative elevation. It's got nothing to do with how high up we think they might be. You know, it's showing no deference to the rich while disregarding the poor. Christians seek to love others for the sake of Jesus Christ. Christian love, agape love, simply means treating others the way the Lord treats you, and seeking to do so in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the thrust of verses 1 to 13. And then the thrust of verses 14 to 26, which is about faith and works, we see that genuine faith gives rise to activity. It gives rise to deeds. Our faith makes us do things. Faith is not something that Christians only talk about. It's something that motivates their lives towards the service of others. Abraham was saved by faith. There we see in Genesis 5:16, his faith being proved by his obedience to God when called to offer his son Isaac in Genesis chapter 22. It was a trial that came from God. The temptation, I suppose, was not to believe God and not do what he was asked. As it happens, we know the outcome was really good. And Rahab was saved by trusting God. And we're told that in Hebrews 11:31, because she demonstrated the reality of her faith. If you remember back to our studies Joshua, by protecting the Hebrew spies. Joshua 6, verse 20, Joshua 2, chapter 2, verse 6 to 27. Now, it's often suggested that James and Paul were contradictory, that they were at odds in this doctrine of faith and works. You know, think of Paul's words to the Romans in chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And again in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, but rather, they're not contradicting each other. That what James and Paul are about is actually complementing each other. Believers are justified, that is, they are declared righteous before God by faith. But we are seen to be justified, we seem to be righteous in the eyes of men who can't see our faith by works. The Lord God alone sees our faith, but men can only see what we do, and they can tell if we're hypocrites. So that's and I think really we'll leave it here, because the key verse for chapter 2 is verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Amen.